Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. I'm delighted to be here this Sunday, the 8th of July. I mention that in case there are people who want to hear some part of the show on the archives. Then you know what date it is. I was having a marvelous time July 4th. I was on the radio, did a show, and was intrigued with getting some information about the signers of the Declaration of Independence, did a little bit of research. And for those of you who did not hear that show on July the 4th, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence was a gentleman by the name of John Witherspoon. Mr. Witherspoon was the first president of a college that eventually became known as Princeton. And interesting, he had a farm that he retired to after his career, and it had a very unusual name, and I believe it's pronounced Tusculum, T-U-S-C-U-L-U-M, and being one who's done a lot of research on the Roman history, I realized that Cicero had named his very favorite villa the same name, and so it just intrigued me. I decided to go to the Universal Akashic Records and find out if Mr. Witherspoon was indeed Cicero, and he was, and we got a very interesting information about that and put it up on the website. Well, after going through that, I realized, you know, it would kind of be interesting to find out some of the past lifetimes of the individuals who are right now campaigning for the presidential election of 2008. And I did a little research with that, and to me, one of the amazing things is the money that these individuals have to raise for the race to the White House. I'm looking at some figures. Hillary Clinton has already raised $36 million. Now, there might have been a slight bit of change since I took this off the Internet, but Obama has raised $25 million. John Edwards, $14 million. They're the top contenders for the Democratic candidates, if you take into consideration the amount of money that they raised. On the Republican side, Mitt Romney has raised $23 million. Rudy Giuliani, $16 million. John McCain, $13 million. And so when you get down to these other gentlemen who are running, it's going to be very difficult for them to compete because this article says, by some predictions, these individuals are going to need $500 million apiece to compete, in other words, to run the full period of time. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, all of this money. And I think back at something that I'd read about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's campaign purse was $16. Of course, money then was a lot different than it was now, but he became president on a on an advertising budget of $16, and here we're talking about all these people who are going to need $500 million apiece to compete. And I'm thinking, oh, my golly, what we could be doing with that money. And so we're going to be barraged with all this advertising from now until next year. And I'm thinking, oh, my golly, I'm weary of it already. And I thought, oh, is there a shortcut? Could we possibly have a shortcut to know something about these presidential hopefuls becoming perhaps a little bit educated as to who they are? And I thought what I would do is, what better way to get some information is to go to the Akashic Universal Records and find out some of the past lifetimes of these individuals. So the thought intrigued me, and I'm going to come periodically and bring this information forth, but I'm just going to be discussing one presidential hopeful today, and that is Dennis Kucinich. I believe he pronounces his name. I have put this information in the several places. I've put it up in the Spiritual Notebook, put it up on my own website with the show information, and I asked what past lifetime prepared this gentleman to run for president. I think you'll be as intrigued with this as I was intrigued. And so what we found out from the Universal Akashic Records that the cherubim in the center of the cosmos hold, they say that Mr. Kucinich has been a supporter of independence and honesty through many of his past lifetimes where politics were concerned. He was a framer of the Constitution and was Benjamin Harrison as a past president, and was an articulate man of words and letters. Because during the Revolutionary period, he was Thomas Paine. Now, you might not know about Thomas Paine if you're not interested in history, but Thomas Paine wrote a lot of, you might say, periodicals, little pieces of information that he sent out to the people, you might say, in a way, campaigning for independence from the British. That he contributed to the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin, because, of course, they were contemporaries during the Revolutionary War. And he served during the time of the Civil War. He tried to hold the Union together as a senator, but as a senator then, he is not well known in history. But nevertheless, he worked for peace and understanding. And many of his lifetimes, he served in the legal profession, where if he didn't enter public office, he served in the legal profession, that he had strong beliefs in the legal system. And so he's running today as one who wants to effect great change, obtaining the rights of the citizens, because these rights have been so eroded presently. And so in the past, he's been a great humanitarian. Now, on the downside, the cherubim mentioned that he's going to have a problem because of the finances that he has been able to raise. And I was giving you some of the figures of, you know, Hillary Clinton out there in the front, 36 million, 25 million, 23 million, 16 million with these top contenders. And Dennis has only raised to date $344,000. So you can see he is at quite a has quite a handicap with the amount of money that he has been able to raise. The message here is he has come back to Earth at this time to help bring the human consciousness back to fair play and honorable standards, bringing forth the thoughts of the divine to politics. For too long, politicians have been influenced by money and prestige, and not a group of people who would be considered statesmen. So this gentleman is divinely inspired. There's more to this. Do read it, either in the spiritual notebook or in my own part for the show today. I'll leave it up for a while. Oh, I do want to say one other thing about this particular reading, because I do think it's interesting. They were talking about the political machine and how, yes, we do have debates today, but when debates are on television, it's in a very impersonal manner, and so you don't really get a close-up of the candidate where you can pick up information that is in their energy field. So I kind of thought that was interesting, and it's very true. If you meet a person, you might not know them, but when you meet them, you either feel this immediate rapport with them, you feel distance from them, or you don't care. And so I do believe that these things are coming from the information that's in their energy field. So when we have candidates on TV, it's hard to pick up what is in their energy field to see what kind of an individual that they might be. And then they talk, we also found from the cherubim, and we know this if you're interested in history, that back at the time of the Revolutionary War, gentlemen got together at the local tavern. They had debates there. They had arguments. I'm talking here about in their debate, arguing and debating different points of issues from both sides to stay faithful to the crown of Britain or to become an individual country on their own. And so we had these little groups of people coming together where they could pick up from each other's energy field whether they were sincere, whether they were telling the truth, just what kind of a person they are. So I think that is an interesting point. If you have an opinion about this, give us a call. Our phone lines are open to you, and the number is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. I think, personally, and I'd like your opinion on this. Are you tired of hearing the debates already? Do you really think we have a voice? What can we do as individuals to bring forth what we believe are the manner, the issues that we want to live? How do we feel about our freedoms? Are they being eroded? Have we moved away from some of those beautiful dreams and goals that were placed in our Constitution? Are we giving up too much of our freedom for what we consider personal safety? I'd like to hear your opinion on this. I'd also like to hear if you like the idea of retrieving some of the past lifetimes of the political candidates. What kind of history do they have as a soul that has prepared them for this date and time, this place where there is going to be a tremendous change in the political system? And what can you and I do to help bring forth what we truly deserve as free human beings? So give me a call. Interested to hear from you. 877-876-5227. Now, getting back to some other spiritual thoughts as to what is happening today, for those of you who might be listening to our conference calls that we are holding, there have been a number of them. Imagine this. We're in a time when archangels and members of the spiritual hierarchy can say to you, we're going to have a telephone conference. Join us. This is the work that we're going to be accomplishing. Where has this ever happened in history that you can pick up a phone and hear their message? To me, this is such an incredible thing. And yet, this is what is happening. If you go to www.carolynevers.com, and that's CarolynEvers.com, if you go up in the right-hand corner, there is a button up there that talks about the conference calls. There is a past one that was from Archangel Michael, and it is in its entirety, so you have some sort of a concept as to what they are like. These conference calls have been called because of the energy that has come to this planet at this time. And we have a lot of people talking about gateways, talking about astrology and how energy is able to come to the planet. And I think all of that is marvelous to make people aware of that. But what is behind the energy, what is behind the gateways opening, according to Archangel Michael, is the energy that has come to us from the supernova 1987A. This was a collision. This was an enormous collision in the cosmos that occurred 200,000 years ago. The view, the picture that we can see of this collision through that the astronomers have seen, they were just able to view this in 1987, therefore the name. It takes that long. It was so far away from us that it took that long for the actual glow, the actual view, for us to actually see it in our telescopes. And Archangel Michael is telling us that it is this year that the energy spray from this collision is finally reaching us. This is what is behind all of the changes that are going on, the gateways that people are talking about, the openings. This is the energy, and this is where it came from, and what it is going to produce this year is an incredible result in our human bodies, in the planet, and it is why the masters from the other side have given me this course, what is called Journey to the Other Side. Each master archangel is describing what is happening this year, why it is happening, what happened in our past, what was set up in our past that we had to clear this year. And 200,000 years ago, where did that come from? When we look at what occurred 200,000 years ago, it is when our physical, as we know it today, Homo sapiens, it is when we entered the Earth. I find this so amazing that here we are entering the planet and Source, the maker of all, has set up things, has choreographed this incredibly beautiful divine dance that we call life, so that the energy is coming now. It was all planned. It was all and intricately planned, and we're seeing it spread out before us. And so Archangel Michael had conference calls where we worked on the physical. We have a caller, and I will stop what I'm discussing and ask who this is.
Hello there, Carolyn. My name is Brian.
You didn't get a chance to say what you wanted to say yesterday, did you?
Oh, no. It was the right time, the right moment for the right time to say that.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, what did you think about the information that we're going to bring forth about the political candidates.
You know, that's pretty fascinating. You know, today we live in a world where it is more about who's got the most money.
Yes.
It seems like that they kind of dictates who's going to be the top person, you know, narrowing it down to maybe the top two or three. And so, you know, it seems like it's about money. But hopefully in the future, things can shift where there's, like you said, this awakening where individuals can become, you know, more self-empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can shift it where they can allow a third party candidate, like an independent, to finally break that barrier, you know, between the Republican and Democrats.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I thought it would be very helpful to people to go into the past lives of the candidates. I don't know if this has been, if you have found this to be true, but I get confused sometimes when I see two people on television arguing. When I say argue, you know, they're debating, and
yeah,
you don't know who to believe.
It's almost like, yeah, it's kind of funny in a way, but it seems like it's just two car salesmen.
Two car salesmen. I love
trying
it.
To sell you the best plan. You know what I mean? The best deal. To the world.
Yeah. that's a unique way of putting it, too, Clark.
Yeah. It seems like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I guess it really is hard to bring out the true questions on what people, to know the candidates on a personal level.
Dennis,
really,
I have found, excuse me, I didn't mean to call you Dennis. Brian,
I was thinking
about our candidate today. Brian, I don't know if you have found this, that there are some candidates, I'm not going to mention names, where they change their stand on an issue based upon events that happened later.
Yes.
In other words, they change sides.
Yes.
According to the way the wind blows.
That's very true.
And personally, it's a real turnoff to me.
Yeah, I think I really believe people are awakening, and I know.
You think people notice that?
I do. I think maybe it's I think other people will say, well, you know, that's just that, and the candidates, you know, it doesn't matter who we vote for, you know, it's either Republican or always either Republican or Democrat. But I think deep down inside, I think there'll be a change in the future. It might not be this upcoming election. But as time goes on, I think enough people will say enough's enough. And we definitely need to change the system.
Well, I'm hoping by bringing forth this information from the Akashic Records that I can, in some small way, help people to recognize who the statesmen are, because...
Yes.
We lived during those times ourselves. I would venture to say that there's a lot of people out there listening to us who lived during the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yes, yes.
And some of these words might help them to remember.
Hmm.
And that is another reason why I'm willing to, and wanting to do this, because... if I can in any way send out some thoughts that would help people to remember these candidates, because we're starting to remember our past.
Yes.
And if they can
that.
Recognize these individuals from the past, it might help them sort out who they want to vote for in this election instead of saying, my vote doesn't count, I'm not going to vote.
Yes, because I think it's out of each time that someone votes for a president, I think only around 30 or 40% show up and vote out of the population of, you know, the United States. So I don't know. I think that's accurate. Could be wrong, but it is, you know, like you said, if you can get up to 70 or 80%, maybe people would vote more if they had a more personal touch, personal connection with that president.
Let's hope it works out that way. Let's hope that
we
can remember these people.
Yes.
So, Brian, did you call for a particular reason?
Well,
I mean, I don't mean other. What I meant was it didn't come out the way I meant it. Did you have, because I think I kind of led you off of maybe a question that you might have had when you called. Did I lead you away?
Yeah, well, first, I like that because I wanted to share how you're just, you know, you're asking about the political system. And, yeah, I just wanted to put my two cents in. So.
Well, but give us a dollar.
Yeah. But my other question I just had real quick was, in the past year or two, I've been seeing a lot of feathers.
Seeing what?
Feathers. Like
feathers?
Bird feathers? Yeah, feathers. These beautiful white feathers. And I've been seeing them on my path on my way to work when I walk from my car to work. And I was wondering...
Oh, well, that's a message.
That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
I remember... I went on a spiritual journey with a group of ladies, and my roommate came across a lot of feathers. They would just drop out of the sky at her feet, and we found out that they were feathers from a hawk.
Huh.
And it was so interesting because we were on a cruise. We're out in the middle of an ocean, and we're in this conference room, and we can look out the window, and what settles on our rail but a hawk?
Wow.
Yes, and then we were looking at we were getting a lot of messages through the animal world. We saw dolphins and whales, and here this hawk is there, and we were looking at what that meant as a totem. So,
yeah.
There is a possibility, and I mean, I don't know this, it just comes to mind, that perhaps this feather is some sort of totem for you carrying a message, and I suspect.
Yeah,
am I wrong? Am
well,
I wrong, Brian? Are you asking me to find out from
well,
the records?
What I was wanting to know, I've been seeing them, and at the beginning, I didn't pick them up because I was kind of afraid, okay, they're off of a dead bird or something, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about that. Okay, I may get a disease, something, I don't know. What do you call that? The bird?
Yeah, there's a possibility of that.
So I was like, well, I should pick, but I did pick up one, and I did put it in there like a Ziploc bag, and I've kept
yes.
it. But there's a lot more that have been showing up lately. And they're usually in the same area, the same place, on my way to work. And I've seen a couple big ones, beautiful white feathers, almost like angelic. And I guess what I was asking is, is this a spirit guide trying to get my attention on what information are they trying to share with me? But what is going on?
Well,
why am I seeing it?
Yeah, we'll see if we can get an answer for you, Brian. But I do have a question first, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of curious about this. First of all, white feathers are rather unusual. There's a lot of birds out there. They've got black feathers, brown feathers, spotted feathers. And, you know, there are some doves that have some white feathers. And there's also the birds that you see near the water that have white feathers. And so my question to you is, before we go to the center of the cosmos and check this out in the Akashic Records, have you noticed birds in the area who might be white? Or are these feathers just showing up apparently not being connected to some white bird?
Yeah, I don't see any birds around. They're just like shows up all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, I'll see maybe out of the past year or two, and probably out of every couple months, every other month or so, it seems like one or two shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't picked up any more. I just say, okay, I acknowledge that they're there, but I'm not sure where they're coming from. I'm sure there's some kind of message that it's coming to me, but it's like, okay, if I collect a whole bunch of them, I guess I can make a beautiful you know, something out of them, you know.
It gets frustrating when you can't connect the dots sometimes, doesn't
sometimes
it?
Sometimes these are just, yeah, it's just one of those questions. It's like, okay, what is this?
I know, you're trying to connect the dots. It, you know, it's why I just love being able to...
And I do see, I've seen letters in the clouds a lot, too. I see
you, what do you see in the clouds?
Letters.
Feathers or letters?
Letters, like the alphabet.
Oh, okay. What kind of letters?
I see lowercase a. I see a lot of A's and E's.
Lowercase B?
E N is an elephant.
Oh, E, uh-huh.
E, yes. I see lowercase letters and capital letters, too. So maybe I should just write it down, try to spell the word out.
Are you aware that clouds will reflect energy and information that is on the earth?
In a way, I've noticed that. I see shapes and faces in the clouds so, like, vividly. It's just amazing. I'm starting to pick up, like, the language of clouds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
Well, I have had a lot of occasions where I've been with groups of people and I've been by myself where I have seen information in clouds that reflected what the spiritual work that was being done on the earth at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of us, also I've been very much aware when Mother Mary has used her rainbow to get my attention.
Yes, and I have to tell you about that. We talked about that a while back, and it did move. I did see a rainbow, it didn't rain, and it was there, and it disappeared, and
right.
I saw it fading, and then it appeared in another area.
Mm-hmm.
So it did do that. It did move, but I wasn't sure when we were talking about it before because I just saw a trace of one fading, and like another one, like it moved or something.
Well, Mother Mary does that, and I think I told you this. She showed me two of the in a 90-degree angle to one another, which just doesn't happen.
Yes, this wasn't too far apart from the other one.
Uh huh.
Very close.
Yeah, they're sending you a message, and then what gets so frustrating is you can't figure out what the message is.
And this was the weird thing. Here I pull into a gas station. I don't see anything in the sky because it's just, and I go inside. I come out one, and some guy's inside, and he goes, "You guys know there's a rainbow out there?" That's kind of odd. And I thought about it. I was like, wow. So I went outside, and boom, there's a rainbow. 1 minute later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's going on?
Well, let's see what we can find out for you, Brian.
Okay.
Give me a minute, and... we'll see what we can find. Understand that when we do these things on the radio, there's not enough time for me to get a full report, so to speak. What the cherubim usually do is they show me a picture that illustrates the answer so that I can quickly give it to an individual on the radio. When people ask for a reading, we can get into something that is very in-depth. So keep that in mind. And those who listen, this is sort of like a shorthand message.
Yeah.
So let's see what we can find out for you, Brian. I think this is interesting. So let's see. Give me a second. They're waiting for me. They are so beautiful. They're standing there. I see them standing there. They've got your book. Many times they will stand there and the book is closed. They have your book there and the book is opened. And there is a lot of white light coming out of the book. There is so much white light pouring out of the book that it's hard to now, as I come closer, see the edges of the book. What I see now, as I get closer to it, is this intense white light coming from your records. And there is a the cherubim who is holding the record is taking her finger, and she is like running it along the a line in the record. The light is so bright, I can't see the writing. And as I say that, the light starts to swirl in a right-hand pattern. It almost looks like a whirlpool now, and it is going inside of the record so that the light is being contained now so I can see the page. And what is on the page is small, like small letters, but on this line where the cherubim is pointing. She has long, slender fingers, and she is pointing at this line. And what the line says is, now is the time for your awakening that the you who you are. And what she means by that is not the ego, Brian, but your soul source, that part of the magnificence of your soul that is connected to the monad. This is the moment that the two of you decided and declared that you would awaken to the magnificence of who you are. That up to this period of time, you have worked very diligently, but it is almost as if the work has been in the dark. You weren't sure of the direction that you were going. There wasn't enough light there for you to see your journey, but you patiently walked upon this journey in hope, in trust, in love, and in confidence that your Maker is one of love and would not allow you to be lost. And those feathers are sent to you as a gift. They're showing me that there was not a bird there. These feathers were, you know, in the spirit world, items, objects can be moved from one place to another without having the cause at that particular place. And so they are saying that there wasn't a bird that flew over you that dropped the feathers. These feathers were apported to you by spirit, that your angels cooperated with this at the request of your higher mind, that higher part of your soul that is entering into the monad, that this is a doorway, this is a marking to you that you now are beginning your real work, that you've come this far on faith. You have come this far in working according to how your angels have prompted you, but now this is the doorway. This is what you are searching for, because you will start to remember who you are.
I wasn't sure if I was having an Indian guide because of the feathers, you know.
They are saying that if it were an Indian guide, that the feather would be more like an eagle feather or a hawk feather, that the white has a significance, and it has a significance, as most of you are aware, of purity. And the purity and the light that it reflects comes from beyond your dimension. To work with an Indian guide, you would find feathers more to the colors of your dimension, and those birds that the Indians used and recognized as totems. So this does not reflect an Indian guide.
Okay, this is mostly from the angelic.
You got that, huh?
Yes. Do they just want me to collect these feathers to feel the vibration from them?
Let me see. No, it's not necessary. The feathers were there, and they're showing me like a little sign. It was a sign. It was like a knock at the door. And they were bringing you the feathers until you noticed them.
Oh, I noticed them now.
Well, you saw them there, but it took a little while for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they kept bringing the feathers.
Yeah.
Now that you're aware of them, you may or may not see them anymore. This was a physical, this was something physical that you could see with your eyes to understand a little better what is going on within your soul.
Mm.
So your soul understands the spiritual mission. The ego needs reminders of the hard physical, and that's all that was. It was a reminder to your ego that, yes, this is the time. Yes, you were connected to spirit, and yes, this is the time to awaken and remember.
Wow, that's beautiful, Karen.
Yes, it is.
Wow, I feel so much joy. It feels good.
And you should feel joy, Brian, because you have worked for a long time, not exactly understanding, how shall we say, the reward. You have worked feeling that this was what you were supposed to be doing, but you didn't really know that what you were looking for or where the path was.
Right.
You were just plodding forward in hope and trust that the right thing was going to come your way. And so this was sort of like a little spiritual tap on the back saying you have done this is a job well done that you have been working with.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Yeah, it's sort of like a little reward, huh?
It feels good just to know that, I guess, the appreciation, you know, inside that the things we do for spirit and for source, it feels really good.
Yes, and it's also a reminder, too, to let you know that you are loved, as every soul is greatly loved, not only by Source, but by the angelic realm. The angelic realm recognizes the fact that your soul carries particles from the Master Creator themselves.
Wow.
And it is what makes you and every other human soul, and souls who are not in the human dimension here, so loved, and is because the angelic realm and the Masters see those particles from Source that is not only part of your soul, but is your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they look upon your soul, they see Source there. And it is why each and every one of us are so loved and treasured.
Yes. Wow, that's beautiful, Carolyn.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
And you have a beautiful night.
You too.
And God bless you.
Blessings to you too, Brian.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Now, we're getting close to the hour, my friends. If you want to call in and you have a question, got to do it soon because we are approaching the witching hour, so to speak, when we are going to be off of the air. So give us a call, 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. I understand there were some people trying to get on the air the last minute with us yesterday. Didn't make it before, my golly, those were 2 hours that went by fast. And here we are now approaching this hour. And if you're out there, you have a question, you want an answer, or perhaps you wish to speak to Archangel Michael, he told me, and he is here now, that he would answer your questions. And I do hear a listener. And your name?
Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, how are you, Caroline?
We're wonderful, dear. What can we do for you?
Well, let me just put it in one nutshell. I've been listening to you for about 3 days, you know, and I was led to call you. I really didn't expect to get in, but I just want to know, where am I going in my life? I feel like I'm stuck.
You know, a lot of people are feeling that way, Sheila. Now, are you talking about spiritually, financially?
Yes. Spiritually, financially, emotionally. I just want to know, I feel I'm on my spiritual path, and I want to seek that first.
Knowing that the other things will come.
Yes.
Well, Sheila, you haven't been with us very long, so let me say this. I work with the Universal Records, which are in the center of the cosmos. They are cared for by the cherubim. They have gone through all of the different layers where the records are held, and they are at the final resting place. Source, they hold these for Source because when Source asks for a particular record, the cherubim turn this record over to Source. All of the information of anything that we have ever done from the moment that we are created until the present moment is in those records.
Yes.
And so this is what I will do, Sheila. Give me a second, and I will, there's a part of me that goes to the center, part of my mind that goes to the center of the cosmos and asks for your record. I get your record because I hold your vibration. That is why I am needed for this, because I carry your vibration, which I am feeling and receiving over the telephone, and I take it to the center of the cosmos. And it is your vibration is your fingerprint. Every one of us has a different fingerprint. So that's how we know we get to your record. And I am already there. I journeyed that as we were talking. And there is a cherubim who is standing there. She has your record. And she shows this to us as a book because we are human beings and we understand books. We don't understand what this information looks like. I know what it looks like, but she shows it to us as a book so you can understand that this is your record. It has a brown cover on it, which means you were one of the souls who were called forth by Source under the pink ray of love. So you have planted within your soul the desire to work in some fashion with love. Love of reading, means you could, you would love being a librarian. Love of service might mean that you might be a nurse. Love of knowledge might mean you might be a teacher. So all of these different means would be under love. It would be in your makeup to follow love in some manner, and it depends then on the kinds of lights and energy that source brought to that moment when your soul was created. We don't have the time to go into that right now, but what they are showing me is that you are at a place where so many people are at this very moment, and it is because we are being prepared for ascension. Ascension simply means that we are going to a higher vibrational level. We are going to take our bodies with us. This is the level where people go when they die. They die, they leave their body here. Their soul goes into the next higher dimension, which some call heaven or nirvana. Well, we are going to be able to go there with our physical. And because this is allowed, that means that in our energy bodies, we have an energy body around the physical. We've got an emotional body. We have a mental body. Some people see this in Kirlian photography. And so we have collected over the years many, many times when we died, there was great trauma in the past. If we were run over by a car, for instance, or murdered, we might have carried that emotional vibration or attached to us when we died. And then when we come back into this lifetime, we have picked it up again. And so what the cherubim are saying, Sheila, is that you are being called to clear this energy from your energy body. We all are. This is a benefit to you. Your higher mind, your soul, wants you to be able to move with this wave in the next higher dimension and take your body with you. And we are a little bit too late to go through how you can work on this yourself, and if you can't, how you work with an energy worker. And so what I would like for you to do, if you would be kind enough, Sheila, is to call me on the Wednesday show, which is Cosmic Connections, or next Sunday, which is The Message, or not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, which is The Messenger. And we can discuss this in more detail with you, how you clear this, because you see, once this clears, you then are in a position to connect in a more direct manner with your soul, with your higher mind, and ultimately with memory, to remember who you were. This is what we are working towards right now, because we could feel God's vibration of love back in Atlantis. That thread was broken then. We are on the journey to remember that again. So would you do that, Sheila? I would love to talk to you about it.
Definitely, Caroline, and thank you so much. You have relieved some pressure off of me, because I understand what you're saying. And I will be calling you Wednesday.
I'll be on board with Charlene McNeil. She's one of the healers that I work with. And if you care to, go to the website, www.carolynevers.com. Lots of stuff there that you might be interested in.
All right. And thank you so much for taking the time to help walk me through this.
We're here to serve, Sheila.
Yes, I understand. And thank you so much again.
Bless you,
and
dear.
I'm glad that you're here.
I am too.
All right, Caroline. Thank
Goodbye.
You so much. And I'll be talking to you Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Sounds fine. And so it is time for us to close the door on this meeting today. And for those who might have wanted to call in and were not able, we have three shows. Do look into the conference calls, because Master Kasumi and Archangel Michael, they are all working on these issues that we are talking about, preparing the light body, working with electrons. Mother Mary has a conference call next month. Check them out. They're all on the website, and you can hear what one of these conference calls are like. They are life-changing. So, my friends, goodbye to all of you just for a little while. I'll be back Wednesday. Goodbye.